Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. We'll stand for the reading of the Bible tonight. What a beautiful portion of Scripture. Memorize this early as a young man at our Christian school. Still in my heart. Love this portion of Scripture. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, dear God, stir our hearts. Lord, thank you for a church of marching soldiers. Thank you for a church of marching soldiers. And so, Lord, as we look into the importance, dear God, of this piece of armor, may we have our hearts stirred and stirred again, Lord, over the great, great burden that that you've put upon us to reach the world. Lord, as you commissioned us to this task. And so, Lord, may we be motivated to do it. May we be busy doing it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And couldn't help but think about this idea of marching. Think about that. Marching, marching, marching. You know what? A church that's doing the will of God and Christians that are properly prepared and properly armored up, they cannot pass up this important piece of armor. And the Bible says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Think about that. We're going to break that verse down. Think about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's something you have to put on, something you have to do on purpose. It talks about preparation. That's important. We're going to key on that for just a few moments. Then I love this little phrase, the gospel of peace. Think about that. We carry the gospel, which is good news. That's what the word means. But it's good news that brings peace to people's heart. You know, I watch folks, and you know, I sometimes wonder, how in the world do you get folks? I'm talking about people that we're bringing in from the world, and they sit even in church. And folks, I believe one of the things the devil does is just create so much turmoil, so many distractions. They've got sensory overload on video games and on TV and on movies. They've got the attention span of a goldfish nowadays. And it's almost like the devil's created this great mental and emotional confusion in the hearts of men to the point where just for the average lost person to sit and thoughtfully listen to a gospel presentation, it's getting harder and harder to get folks to just quiet the voices within them, quiet all of the distractions around them, quiet all the craziness whirling around in their mind, and just listen to the gospel. But you know what, folks? We are called, we are commanded to march, to march. When I was studying for this, I typed in the sounds of marching. I almost had you play it tonight. But there was an army clip there, a clip of a video, and it had audio with it. And just the sound of men marching, and I clicked on that, and I just listened to them march. No voices, nobody calling cadence, just the sounds of marching. And I just sat there and closed my eyes, and I thought to myself, that's what God wants to hear from heaven. Hey, you know if you're in the right kind of church is if you walk in and you can close your eyes and listen, do you hear the sounds of marching? Do you hear the sounds of marching? What do you mean, preacher? Are there people in that church every week, their feet are moving? They're going, they're walking, they're visiting, they're going street to street, they're going door to door. They're out on their bus route, one house after another, marching, marching, marching. Their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of preached. The Bible says we're to prepare to march. I believe it starts with a marching mentality. I believe you just have to decide, hey, you know what? You join the army, one thing you better get used to right away, you're going to be marching. It comes with being a part of the army is you're going to be marching. You imagine somebody joining the army and saying, listen, I want to be a part of the army, but one of the things I need to just explain to you is I'm not real fond of marching. And so I want to be a part of the army, but don't ask me to march. And I don't think they'd probably accept you in the army
And if you did join the army with that mindset would be changed very quickly, okay? Because guess what? Everywhere you go, we're going to march. We're going to march. We're going to march. And you know what? Once you accept that that's a part of it, then you know what? You don't fight against it. Matter of fact, you know what? You just kind of embrace it. This is a part of it. This is what makes me who I am. This is what makes us a part of God's army as we go marching. We go marching. Why do we do that? Because of the command to go. Because of the command to go. Folks, listen to me. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And say, sit in the pew and wait for him to come. He said, get out and go. March. Go. Go get him. Go get him. March. March. Go. Go. March. And I remember my dad standing up here one day and preaching on the word go. And he said, folks, the go in the Great Commission is not going to get any goier. And I sat over right over there and just laughed and laughed, almost fell out of the pew. And I thought, I don't even know if I've ever heard that phrase before. I think my dad just invented a word, but you know what? It stuck with me. Right. Here it is 20, 25 years later. And you know what I'm saying? I'm saying the go is not going to get any goier. It's in the Bible. Let's go. Get a marching mentality. You know what that means? That means part of the Christian life is marching. Part of the Christian life. If we're going to be a soldier for Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to march. There's a lot of ground to cover. You know what? So let's get going. You know, how do you reach the entire area? You reach them one day at a time. You reach them one week at a time. You reach them one Saturday at a time. You just go out there and knock them out one door at a time, one door at a time. You just do it. You just do it. Leather sandals, as I mentioned. And that's a good representation of what they would have worn. Leather sandals with a leather bottom, a thick leather bottom. A lot of times they would drive metal studs into the bottom of the sandals just because of traction and also to keep their sandals from wearing out as quickly as they could. And so you know what? They built those shoes to last. You know why? Because they were going to use them a lot. And I was thinking about our bus ministry days, and we spent a lot of time in visitation on Saturday. It was just part of our training, you know. Didn't cry about it, whine about it. You know what we did? We headed up there. Landed in Chicago about 10:30. We'd go till 8 o'clock at night. You know what, folks? I mean this. I would wear out through the sole, all the way out, leather shoe after leather shoe. There's been times where I've stopped and found a piece of cardboard, out of a trash bin and tore it in half and doubled it up and stuck it in the bottom of my shoe. You know what? Because I wore holes in the bottom of my shoe. And I wasn't wearing holes in the bottom of my shoe running around. You know, carousing. I wasn't running holes in the bottom of my shoe. Didn't wear them in the bottom of my shoe, running from tavern to tavern, engaged in wickedness. You know what we were doing? We're out there just street after street, door after door. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get it done. Soldiers march. Folks, soldiers march. Can you stop a minute? Can you listen? Can you hear their marching? If we had every single person right now that went visiting, went out and participated in some outreach program this week, stand up, almost had you do this, and just said, let's march together and just make the sound of it. You know how the kids do on Sunday morning, you know? Okay, when they have, we sing that song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And I thought to myself, you know what? We ought to have, listen, I want you to listen to me, every single person, you can march. Say, preacher, I can barely get from the car to the house. Well, you can pull in front of somebody's driveway and beep the horn a couple of times. You know what I found out? They'll come out to you. You say you do that sometimes? Yeah, I do. Why? Because sometimes I'm tired. And, you know, I just want them to have to walk. No, I do it because there's usually vicious dogs out there. And I will sacrifice, as he would love to testify, my soul winning partner. We pulled up the house the other day and there was two really mean dogs. And you know, what'd you do? I just cracked my door open, took a look. And then I hit Joseph and handed him the door hanger. I said, hey, go hang that on the door. And, you know, he's so new at it. He just opened the door and went, you know, hey man, they didn't like Amish cooking. So they were fine. You know, he was all right. They didn't eat him. So anyway, it was good. Preacher, no, I prayed for him. Somebody's got to be the silent praying partner. And so I was safe in the truck praying for my soul winning partner as he went to the door. Yeah, you got to be tough to be my soul winning partner. So, we did have something, a first, though. Oh, my goodness sake. This is one of the craziest things we've ever had happen, you know. And I don't know why. I don't know if Joseph is a jinx or whether just these things follow me. I'm not sure. But we're going through Newberry. We're finishing up section 20. And And we're down to one of the last houses, and we walk up, and there's kind of a rundown-looking house, not real kept up. But there is a truck parked by the side with a trailer, and I couldn't tell if they're home or is that an extra truck. So let's go up to the door, and we start to knock, and all of a sudden there's a sign on the door. This guy, now you've seen all the signs. Come on. You've seen all the signs. I mean, some of them are humorous. Some of them are just right there, you know, as far as no trespassing, no soliciting, you know, all this other stuff. Well, this guy hand-printed a sign. And this is what it said. He said, it said, if you knock on this door during my nap time, I will punch you in the face. Manny, sign Manny, okay? And so I'm sitting there looking at this. And I look at Joseph and we're like, say, what do you want to do? Yeah. I mean, if it was third shift worker, I get it. You know, if it said for this time to this time, how do I know when his nap time is, okay? And so, you know what I did? I handed it to Joseph, and I said, I'll be in the truck. But you knock on Manny's door and see if you get punched in the face, because that's what we're doing. We're training soldiers, amen? We're training soldiers. And so that's a true story. That's a true story. Crazy. Who puts that on their door? I love it. Paul got it. He spent his entire ministry marching, just marching, just marching. When we taught through Romans chapter 1 in our Sunday school class, I took a few minutes to talk about Paul's three I ams in Romans 1. I am debtor, I am ready, I am not ashamed. I am debtor. You know what? He realized that he had a debt to pay. You say, did he owe God for his salvation? No, it was a free gift. No, you don't owe anything for your salvation. Well, then why was he in debt? He was indebted to the person who brought him the gospel. Well, how can he pay that person back? You don't pay it back. You pay it forward. Okay? Somebody brought you the gospel. I appreciate that. I'm indebted to that person for doing that. How do you pay it back? Take the gospel to someone else. He got that. But he not only said, I am debtor, he said, I'm ready. Now, folks, listen, a lot of people understand that they owe a debt, that they owe the gospel to lost people. But you know what? They're not prepared. They're not ready. That's why it's talking about the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what, folks? Soldiers go through some preparation. You know what they do? They go to boot camp. Okay, a guy doesn't sign up for the army, and the next day we put him on a plane and drop him on the front lines. We do some preparation. We prepare for a battle. And that's why when it comes to the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know what? This is something that you have to learn. This is something that you have to practice that. This is something that you have to go with somebody for a while who knows what they're doing. Best way to be prepared is take a good soul winning course. Get a good soul winning plan presentation. So you have that and you study it. Number one, study it. Number two, practice it. I talk about, as I was learning to be a soul winner in Fisherman's Club my freshman year of Bible college, I'd take my lamp, set it in front of my desk, and I'd pretend it was a lost person. And I'd literally knock on the desk. And then I'd say, hello, Mr. Lamp. My name's Jerry Ross. I'm from First Baptist Church of Hammond, and I'm here to talk to you about the Lord and invite you to church and hand them a gospel track and then begin to go through the plan of salvation and carry on a conversation. You say, well, that's weird. I don't know. I think for a basketball player, if they want to be a good basketball player, you know what? Don't they go practice? You know, come on. Wasn't it Larry Bird that shot 1,000 free throws every day when he was playing basketball? Well, that's why. You know why he did that? So when it came crunch time, pressure time, you know, he could just do it by reflex. And you know what? Anything you're going to get good at, you don't always start good at it. I don't like people saying, I can't. I heard you gave a little, I can't. It's not allowed in the school. You can't say the word can't. Thank you, Brother Young, for he gave that speech in the school the other day. Miss Fiber was telling me about it. That's awesome. That's amazing. And, you know, well, I can't. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Well, you don't understand my personality. Okay, you can hide behind everything you want to hide behind, but you know what? The go's not getting any goier. And the command's still there. And you know what? If I can learn to be a soul winner, you can learn to be a soul winner. You know what? But it takes work. It takes work. And I got to the point where I could give the presentation. And then you know what you got to do? You just got to go out there. And it goes. So you study it. Then you practice it. Then you go. You know, you learn. You can only learn so much in the classroom when it comes to anything. Come on. Go to Ivy Tech and sit in the classroom and learn to be a mechanic out of a book. But sooner or later, you got to go in the garage, pull the wrenches out, and start going to work. Best thing, the best way to learn is with a master mechanic. Get somebody that's good at it. Look over his shoulder. Ask him questions. Listen. Go with a good a good soul winner. Go with somebody who knows what they're doing. That's what one of the purposes of our Operation Occupation is, find people that will volunteer to go. But also, I've encouraged many of you, hey, listen, you may not feel like you can take a section, but you could assist somebody. You could go with somebody. You can't, listen, you can learn to be a good soul winner. You can learn to be a good soul winner. So Paul said, I'm debtor. And then he said, I'm ready. And then he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I love this. I love the marching songs. I was thinking about this when I was listening to those marching steps, just the sound of marching on that video and watching those soldiers' feet go by and listen to the echo of it. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Folks, listen to me. Fundamentalism, old-time religion, we sang those songs. That's a part of it. You go to these progressive churches, you go to these rock and roll churches, you know what? You're not hearing soldier songs. Come on, you're listening to a bunch of Jesus is my boyfriend songs, but you're not listening to any marching song. No soldier songs being sung. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Why did we lose them? Come ye that love the Lord and let your joys be known. Join in the song, in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord and thus surround the throne. Thus surround the throne. We're marching. What are we doing, preacher? We're marching to Zion. We're not sitting. We're marching. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. I think one of the most convicting verses in any song in the Bible is in the hymn book is verse number 2. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King shall speak their joys abroad. Shall speak their joys abroad. Are you refusing to sing? How about this song? There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today while as ransom ones we sing. Marching on, marching on. I love this. For Christ count everything but loss. To crown him King will toil and sing beneath the banner of the cross. Every one of these verses of this song is so powerful. Though the foe may rage and gather as the flood, and they are. Let the standard be displayed. And beneath its folds as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth be not dismayed. Over land and sea, wherever men may dwell, make the glorious tidings known. The crimson banner, now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim his own. Marching on. What are you doing, preacher? Marching. What did you do yesterday? I went marching. What did you do last Wednesday? I went out and did some marching. What do you do every week of your life? March! Why? Because I'm a soldier. And you know what soldiers do? We march. We don't whine about it. We march. We don't complain about it. We march. We'll walk around with a martyr's mentality about it. We march. We don't make excuses. We march. It's what we do. We go and we march, okay? When the glory dawns, and it will, folks, 'tis drawing very near. It is hastening day by day, and before our King, the foe shall disappear, and the cross the world shall sway. Marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him King will toil and sing beneath the banner of the cross. When you march, be prepared to share the gospel. I want to encourage those of you that are marching, keep marching. I joined the march in my teen years. I started going to men's soul winning when no teenager went to men's soul winning. I'm not bragging you. I'm just telling you, God did such a work in my heart as a teenager at a youth conference down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I was so burdened after hearing not a sermon on soul winning, but a sermon on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I fell under great conviction that I'd been so ashamed that I'd not shared that story. Do you know what? I came home and I got ready and started showing up as a teenager to Thursday night men's visitation. You know what I did? I started marching. I marched beside Brother Don Maurer. I marched beside Brother Charles English. I marched beside my dad. I marched beside Bob Townsend. I marched beside many men. And you know what? I didn't know enough to speak yet, but I could march. I could go with them. And I just started marching. Are you listening, young people? By the way, I want to say that I'm so thankful for our young people. You know what? I came here to be on staff in 1994 and,
You know what? I said to Dad, let's get the teams marching. We started out monthly soul winning blitzes just once a month. Boy, we had some kids just bought into it, got excited about it. And I love it. You say, were you planning on keeping it once a month? I know we were going to break it into them, get them used to going, do a lot of training. And then we were going to start a weekly program. I thought, I'll do this for a year and then we'll start a weekly program. And then I love it. About 3 or 4 months in, we had teenage boys and teenage young ladies come up to me and say, preacher, I don't get it. Why are we only doing this once a month? We could do this every week. And I said, man, that is a great idea. I love that. That is a great idea. Aren't you glad when it comes from the heart of the young soldiers that we can do this? Let's do it. Let's do it. Since then, every town, folks, listen to me, every town within any distance has heard the sound of young people from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the marching sound, marching soldiers, their feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember that, young people, when it gets hot out there and it's just an unpleasant, humid, hot Indiana Wednesday. And you know what? You know that when you come back, you're going to have to figure out something or you're going to stink the whole church out. But you know what? Just march on anyway. Just march on. Just march on. Remember that when the weather gets cold, it's all right. You know what? The marching can go through the crunching of snow just fine. We're marching. We're marching. It's what we do. We're marching. Went off to Bible college and spent 2 years training so that I could know how to march better. I could be prepared for to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then for 6 years, I joined the inner city Chicago bus ministry. I was a part of an army, 18 to 24-year-olds, right now about 2,000 strong every single weekend. We invaded the gang-infested ghettos of Chicago. And I just think to myself, that must have been glorious for God to hear those young steps, just marching. What are you doing? We're just out there marching. We're marching. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why did we march? We marched to be seen. Did we march for the sake of marching? No, we marched with the good news, prepared to give the good news out, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I look back 48 years now. Think about this. 48 years ago, the first bus was bought at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 48 years ago. And you know what? A handful of men and ladies and kids showed up and sanded that bus down and painted it up red with white racing stripes. Wrote Blessed, hand-printed Blessed Hope Baptist Church on the side. Named it Friendly Freddy. And you know what? I think of all of the years and all of the men and all of the women that through the years, for 48 years, come on, in every little town and burg around here, for 48 years, every Saturday, somebody's out there. Many of those that are marching now they lay silent. They lay in some shroud. They lay in a grave, their bodies does, awaiting the resurrection. They're looking down, and you know what? They're watching a new generation of bus workers just march along, marching the same streets they did. By the way, picking up the kids of their bus kids. Think about that, the kids of their bus kids. They're just, you know what we're doing? Hey, by the way, keep marching. I want to say this, Brother Jeff Reiser, keep marching. Brother Val, keep marching. Come on, Brother Brian, don't give up. Keep marching. Brother Gordon, thank you. Keep marching. Brother Abel, keep marching. Just keep marching. And a whole slew of workers that have helped them. Sister Terry was coming up the ramp, jumped off the bus, and was heading up the ramp. I looked at her and I said, sis, you still doing this? You sure you're able to still do it? Yeah. I'm good. I think to myself, I don't know, man. I'm not in the bus ministry anymore, but thank you. Brother John rides the bus when he can. Do you hear that? We still haven't got him driving it yet. When are we going to do that? We got to come on. We want to do this. We got to get you over here sometime. And we're going to have to just come on, me and you. We'll get, okay? We'll drive it up to, let you drive it up to White Castle, up in Terre Haute, okay? That's not that far. We'll go the back roads. You got this, brother. And amen. you know what? Thank God. Just what are we doing? Just marching. Operation Occupation. Preacher, what is this whole thing about? You know what? It's a battle plan. Come on. That's a battle map out there. Amen. You know what we're doing? We're just saying, hey, let's take it to the devil. Let's go steal his kids. Let's take the gospel. What were you doing? Just marching. Folks, listen. Well, preacher,
I think I'm a good Christian. Are you barefoot? When's the last time you marched? By the way, used to march. When'd you stop marching? Time to get back in? Time to get back in? Remember telling our seniors, our kids, as they would graduate out of the Christian school and graduate out of the youth group, when I was there, I'd say, you know, it'd be a wicked shame if 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, you showed up at soul winning every week, and then all of a sudden you graduate and decide that souls aren't important anymore. I said, that's a wicked shame, because you know how to do it. You got an advantage many of your parents don't have. You don't have to begin and learn as an adult, try to overcome some of the fears and all of that. You've been raised up to do it. March. 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 About 3 years ago, this is before Max would have been in the youth group, about 3 years ago, I was out visiting on the south side of Linton, and we were just doing some follow-ups on some folks that had come to church. I can't remember even who was with me, but we stopped in front of a trailer, and I looked down the road, and on the other end of this little street, about two blocks down, Brother Don Mowry and Max was out on a Saturday morning. Brother Don got out of the car, and, he headed towards the door, but Max, he's like the Energizer Bunny, man, and kid jumped out, and here's this little kid that's about this tall and about that wide, and it's just like a bowling ball with two legs, man, and he just out there rolling, man. He just heading to the door, man. He just heading to the door. And by the time Brother Don gets the door shut, makes about three steps, he's already headed back from making the visit, And you know what? I thought, then I see him get off the soul winning ball. Hey, that's how we raise them, blessed hope. It's what we're going to do. A preacher, have you ever thought about? Nah, I'm doing a whole lot more thinking. I kind of like what we're doing. Have you ever thought about getting your kids involved in what we're doing instead of coming up with new ideas? I'm not gonna turn this into an entertainment thing. The average youth group is nothing but just a big babysitting service. Hey, you know what? They do fun things. Come on, you talk to the kids. Brother Gordon's made it a lot of fun for the kids to be in the youth group. I mean, even the normal things, he puts a fun twist on it. He's doing a great job. But I'm just saying this, folks. If this is what youth groups are across the country. It's what the average youth group in our area is. You know what it is? Just a place for kids to show up. And you know what? It's just a big babysitting service as well. What do we do to have fun? Where do we take them? How many roller coasters can you ride? Say, what are you doing? We're trying to raise soldiers. Amen. Trying to raise soldiers. Plug them in, people. Plug them in. Get them marching. Is your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us in this important part of the armor. Just to keep it on. Keep it on. Lord, I hope that as long as you allow to be on the earth, Lord, that I'll have at least enough strength in my body and clearness of mind. Even, Lord, if my steps get halted and maybe it'll take me a little bit longer. It might be where I have to use a cane or a walker. But, Lord, I pray, dear God, that if you leave me on this earth, you'd give me, Lord, enough strength and enough heart and enough desire to just still pull in somebody's driveway. Maybe I could only do two or three or four. Maybe that's all the energy I would have. But, Lord, help me. As an old soldier, Lord, in this next phase of life, no matter what comes, Lord, I want the people, blessed of that, I want young people, I want children still hearing the marching, the footsteps of their pastor out there, still marching. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for the lives that have been impacted. But I pray, dear God, that you would help us to be properly armored in these last days. Use this invitation, Lord, for our good. Please, we pray in Jesus' name.